Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. This week, Dana Kurtz released two new albums on her own label, Kismet Records. American Standard is a swampy, blues, early rock and roll barroom rockabilly record, and Secret Canon Volume 1 is made up of unearthed jazz gems, the songs that went along for the ride with American Standards, but never hit. Kurtz has been releasing music since 1997, and her first self-released album, 2002's Postcards from Downtown, was a hit in Europe. In a review for her 2004 record Beautiful Yesterday, the Boston Globe wrote, "There is no logical reason why singer-songwriter Dana Kurtz is not a full-blown star." Whether full-blown stardom is on her wish list or not, she's releasing records that are fantastic and should be listened to. Dana Kurtz joins us now to talk about American Standard and Secret Canon Volume 1. Dana, welcome to the Roundtable.
Oh, thanks for having me.
How did American Standard and Secret Canon Volume 1 become two albums?
I was making American Standard, and I had all of these covers that I've been collecting, all these sort of very obscure old jazz and R&B tunes. I'm sort of a collector. And I recorded a couple of them with the idea they might wind up on there, but they were really kind of nice all on their own, and they felt really different than what American Standard was shaping up to be. So I sort of set them aside and set up another recording date toward the end of the recording process of American Standard. Putting them out together was sort of, at this point I'm thinking, really stupid because I'm exhausted. But at the time I thought it would be a really cool idea to sort of put out kind of two sides to a coin kind of thing.
And why do you think it's stupid now?
I'm just exhausted.
Sure, sure. Okay.
I'm exhausted and broke. Yeah. It's kind of quite an undertaking because I own my own label, so it's really all me, and I'm putting out two records simultaneously, on two different continents. So it's nuts.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
When did you know you wanted to have your own label?
Honestly, I kind of stumbled into it because I was back when I was a signable age, when I was younger. I was kind of trotted out at labels, and it was really frustrating, and I had a couple offers, and they fell through at the ninth hour, and then finally my drummer said, just put it out, get it out there. And it wound up being the best thing ever, because I put it out, and it wound up kind of being a hit in Europe. And so our Postcards from Downtown is about 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, after you put it out yourself, you're like, why would I want a label, I can make, 25 cents a record, or I can make, $8 a record. You do the math.
What do you like about recording records and having them produced and doing, the studio sessions? Do you like that part of the process?
I love that part of the process. It took me a long time to love it. It's a different art being a studio artist, but I adore it. I kind of get why the Beatles just wanted to lock themselves up and just do that, mm-hmm. and not tour, although I love touring as well, but it's really rewarding. It's kind of the place where sort of magic and craft meet up really beautifully.
How do you write your songs? Do you have a process? You sit down and write songs, or they come to you sort of organically?
Sometimes little bits and pieces come to me organically, and then I gather up all the little bits and pieces and sort of sequester.
And how long have you been working on the songs that are on these two records?
I think one of the tunes, and I can't even tell you which one it is, maybe Good in 62, I had written around the time that I put up my last record, but it kind of didn't belong,
uh-huh.
which kind of often happens, like the last song that I write, to go on a previous record sort of winds up sort of informing what the next record's going to be, because I kind of take a few artistic turns here and there.
Good in 62 is one of the songs I want to share all or part of with our listeners. Could you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit more about that tune?
Sure. I wrote that. It began as a poem I was writing at a great festival down in New Orleans called the Ponderosa Stomp, which pulls obscure artists out into the open again. It's not all of them are obscure, but all of them were around, from the late 50s to the early 70s, and they were all on small storefront labels. And it's sort of like it started off being almost a convention of collectors, with artists that were on these labels that we all love, or that we didn't know yet but wanted, but knew we might love.
Mm-hmm.
Like garage rock, rockabilly, swamp pop, like all these sort of regional labels. And it was just such a scene, you know. It was just, you know, all these dorky collectors and girls dressed like Betty Page, and, you know, rockabilly fans kind of look like that. And all kind of true believers of this sort of lost music. And I sort of wrote a fictional character based on a couple of the guys that I saw there that were sort of, you could tell that he hadn't been on stage for a long time, and he, you know, grabbed whatever members of his band were still alive and filled in with other people. And there's something that was really touching and beautiful about the whole thing.
Mentioned a moment ago that you write poetry too. How is that different from writing music for you?
Honestly, it's a little less precious. I sort of write poetry as, you know, to keep, to prime the pump. Like, I'm kind of superstitious about songwriting, and I need a lot of things around it. You know, I need to sort of go off and be undisturbed for long periods of time. And poetry is kind of more of an everyday craft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more observational and in the moment, and to sort of consider myself a little teeny tiny bit of a poet means to sort of walk through the world in a more meditative and open state. It's something I aspire to. It's not something I really necessarily achieve, but I recently figured out that poetry is sort of the key to lyrical longevity for me. So I've been devoting a little more time to it.
When you're writing a song, and then maybe again when you're recording a song, how do you know that it is done, that it's ready for public consumption? Or
oh yeah, I mean the recording is a little less certain about when it's ready, but it's a real gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I know as I'm writing the song what I want it to feel like when it's done. That's the first thing I know. It's like a movie that I'm directing, and I don't know what the movie's about necessarily when I start it.
Okay.
But I know exactly how I want to feel when I leave the theater. So if I don't stop until I have that. It feels very well balanced. I don't usually have any, things I just slap together on a record. It takes me quite a long time to write, and most of it is just waiting for that feeling to come.
So from American Standard, we've played Good in 62. What is another tune you want people to hear from that one?
Maybe since we were just talking about writing, Invocation, because that was that started a really marathon writing session, and it was a song I wrote in a calculated way to invoke the muse, and it worked. So that's my invocation to the muse, my begging for forgiveness.
Would you even know me since I've been away? I wake with my eyes closed and sleep through the day, but I'll open my heart and I'll learn how to pray. I've snuck into Eden in the hours before dawn. I've stolen the apples that dropped on your lawn. My spirit, my pride, and my innocence gone. Please, Mama, let me come home. Oh, Mama, let me come home. I've strayed far from you for too little too long. Selfish and wrong, please, Mama, let me come home. I'm shut out of heaven and decades from hell, passed out in the shrines where the beautiful fell, and I burned down the silo and poisoned the well. Please, Mama, let me come home. I made back alley deals that were forged in your name. I was dazzled by gold and the shimmer of fame, and you knew all the time, but you never complained. Please, Mama, let me come home. Oh, Mama, let me come home. I've strayed far from you for too little too long. I know I've been hard-headed, selfish, and wrong. Please, Mama, your shed. I'll bring you the paper and coffee in bed, and I'll tell you great stories right out of my head. If Mama, you let me come home, I'll be a great sage or a fabulous liar. I'll hammer a truce or wage war in your honor. Follow every spark rising up from your fire. If Mama, you let selfish and wrong, please, Mama, let me come home. Oh, Mama, let me come home. I've strayed far from you for too little too long. I know I've been hard-headed, selfish and wrong.
Our guest is Dana Kurtz. Her two new records, American Standard and Secret Canon Volume 1, are available now. The next song we'll hear is If Yesterday Could Only Be Tomorrow. First, Dana tells us how she found the song.
My friend Ethan found that song for me. He's one of my collector buddies who sends me mixtapes every once in a while. And that song, the original version that I heard was by the King Cole Trio, Nat King Cole's original band.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an amazing swing tune, and I couldn't believe I'd never really heard it before. And my rule for Secret Canon was it can't have been covered notably in the last 40, 50 years and couldn't have ever been a hit.
Okay.
And, I just didn't want it covered by heavies. And there was only one or two songs that I kind of bent that rule for. I'll Close My Eyes is one of those that was recorded by a couple of heavies. It was recorded by Sarah Vaughan and stuff. But I just love the song so much, and it wasn't a super famous standard. And If Yesterday Could Only Be Tomorrow, I thought wasn't covered, but then I found out that Tony Bennett did it for a film soundtrack. But the film didn't do very well, so so people didn't really hear it.
If yesterday could only be tomorrow, and I knew then the things that I know now, there'd be so much to remember.
The next song I want to play is also from Secret Canon Volume 1. Let's do Call Me Darling.
Oh, I love that song. That song I found on a Josh White Sr. record. And he's one of my sort of favorite. My friend Jack Williams, the guy I do the duet with, turned me on to Josh White Sr. He's very influenced by him. He's a lovely combination of blues and jazz and soul. He's from South Carolina, which is also where my friend Jack is from. And so I asked him to do the duet with me because he's one of the best guitar players I know. Jack Williams is also quite obscure and shouldn't be. I think he's a genius, and he just plays house concerts and times and tours around bird watching, and he's happy as a clam, but most people don't know who he is, and I think he's one of the most brilliant performers alive right now.
Call me darling, call me sweetheart, call me dear. Thrill me, darling, with the words I long to hear. In your dark eyes, so smiling, is the promise I see. But you're too late, won't say that you care for me. Oh, my darling, if our daydreams all come true, then I'll meet you at our secret rendezvous, and we'll find a paradise that lies deep in your eyes. Call me darling. Call me dear.
Dana Kurtz, thank you very much for joining us on the Roundtable, and good luck with the albums and continued success with your career.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Dana Kurtz's two new albums, American Standard and Secret Canon Volume 1, are available now. Visit danakurtz.com for more information. That's DayanaKurtz, DayanaKurtz.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
If our daydreams all come true, then I'll meet you at our secret rendezvous, and we'll find a paradise that lies deep in your eyes.
Call me darling, call me sweetheart,
call me dear, call me darling, call me sweetheart.